1 Samuel chapter 17, I want to start in verse 38, and I'm going to read to 52. Verse 38 reads and says, "And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put on a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd bag which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest unto me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thee flesh unto the fowl of the air and to the beast of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee, and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, David hasted and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. The last verse, 52, that we're going to read, "And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron, and to the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Sherenim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron." Father, help us tonight, dear Lord, to understand what Your Word says. Father, not to just understand it, but apply it to our lives. Father, everything in the Word of God maybe not be written to us, but it's certainly for us. Father, help us apply it to our lives to be better servants for You. Empty me of sin, fill me with Thee, hide me behind the cross tonight, and just help us over the next few minutes as we look at Your Word to be who we ought to be in Your sight, not man's, but in Yours. And Father, we just thank You and praise You in everything we ask in Your sweet and holy name, I pray. Amen. Y'all may be seated. Thank you for the standing of the reading of God's Word. I'm going to give you 3 points, and then I'm going to talk about a little bit what I see here and have had on my mind throughout the day, seeing that we were in this portion of Scripture this morning. If you look in verse 39, it reads, "And I see David stuck with what he knew." You see, that's a problem we as Christians have today, or Christians in general have. We know what to do. We know the things that work, but for whatever reason, we turn from the things that work and think we have a better idea and we need to do things different. But if we look, David stuck with what he knew. Verse 39 says, "And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said to Saul, 'I cannot go with these, for I have not proven them.' And David put them off of him." You see, David had an opportunity to take protection like he never had before. And he said that Saul put his armor on him, and he said, "Saul, I can't take it. I have not yet proved the armor." See, I talked about and mentioned this morning, David was a very young man. This is one chapter after Samuel anointed him as the future king in Israel. And we see here that he said, "I cannot wear it. I've not yet proved it." So David, he said, "Saul, I'm going to give it all back." He said, "But I'm going to do with what I know to do." And the very next verse, it says, "And he took his staff in his hand." You see, for a shepherd, a staff is something they were very familiar with. In the Old Testament, shepherds or anyone that had a staff, they used that, and they would simply, going throughout life, they would do markings on this staff. They would date it. If there was a date of significance, they would carve it in on their staff. They always had their staff with them. And you know, a shepherd took, they would typically use that to help lead the sheep. And a shepherd has a staff. So David said, "What you have for me, Saul, will not work. But I'm just going to use what I know to use." He says that he took his staff in his hand. He took up 5 smooth stones. And then he went up to meet this Philistine, and he had his sling in his hand. So just keep in mind, David stuck with what he knew. Verse 48, we see that David pursued the army. David pursued the army. 48 says, "And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David," what? "He hasted." David hasted. Hasted means to hurry, to act, to go. Not just in his slow pace, but he hurriedly went. And it says that he hasted and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. Now, as I talked about this morning, the entire army of Saul was hiding because of this man named Goliath. But David was much different. He not only didn't hide, but the Bible says that he hasted to go meet him. And it simply says that David ran to meet this man named Goliath. David pursued the enemy. David did not wait until the enemy was on or at his territory. He didn't wait till the enemy was knocking at his back door. He knew the enemy was out there, and David ran to meet the enemy to take care of business. And he was in a hurry to meet the enemy. You know, one thing that I think we as God's people, and I say we because I am included, is we get so comfortable, and some of us are... we don't like confrontation. We just don't. People just typically do not like confrontation. But if we are God's chosen people, we are supposed to be separate. And there's going to be times that we have confrontation with the world. Now, you can handle it in a godly manner, or you can handle it in a worldly manner. But we just typically don't like confrontation. And I've come to find out that God's people, Christians, they work more on the defensive than they do the offensive. But if you look in your Bible, you will find nowhere in there where it says that we need to do such. Where we need to work, be defensive, But the Word of God tells us all over that we need to be offensive. It tells us to go out, go and compel people to come in. We ought to be on the offensive. And as I was thinking about that today, over lunch at the restaurant, there was TVs on. And you know, on Sunday around this time of year, there's always going to be football. There's always football. I used to like watching a lot, I'd say over the last several years, I hadn't watched much at all. But a football team, when they go to play, they play another team. They never win by defense only. Now, if you have a bad defensive line, now you can lose the game pretty quick. You got to have that defensive line. But if you don't have an offensive line that can get the ball closer to the other side, you're never going to win. You're never going to win. Now, you can hold the other team back with a great line of defense, but you can never win. Because if you can't score any points, you can never win. And it's sad to say, but I think too many of God's people today live on the defensive. Now, the Bible tells us we're supposed to always be ready to give an answer. We're supposed to defend the faith. We're supposed to be ready, but I think too many of us live in the defensive position. But David pursued the enemy, number two. Number three, David caused the army to move. David caused the army to move. The latter part of verse 51, it says, And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose. The army of Saul finally arose after this young man David took care of the issue they had on the battlefield. After he took care of this 9.5 tall beast, that's when the army was ready to get up and go. And I imagine they were ready because God and David delivered them out of their affliction. And what they seen, but they were ready after David moved. After they seen that victory, they said, "All right, I'm ready to go." See, we don't need to wait till a victory before we go. Like I talked about this morning, God's already gave us the victory. 2,000 years ago, He bled, suffered, and died on the cross of Calvary and gave us that victory over sin, death, and hell and the grave. And I'm thankful for that today, but I wanted to expound on this maybe another 10 or 15 minutes, because you see, how many of y'all heard of this historical account when you were a very young child? Anybody here? In here, y'all heard of it? Everybody in here can probably tell me this historical account. Which is wonderful. It's wonderful to be taught at a young age. But one thing I think that we fail in is we start to think, and it gets painted a picture in our mind, or at least in mind, that this is just a fairy tale and how God delivered and done such a great thing here. But I titled it Underdog or Top Dog. So my question tonight here is, was David really the underdog, or was he the top dog? When you think of David and Goliath, we think that the underdog prevailed and won against the enemy. Now, we know David did, but was he really the underdog in the first place? I want to talk about that for a few minutes. In this time period, there was four different types of warriors. Four different types. You have an infantryman. You have infantry. An infantryman, they is close hand-to-hand combat. Goliath had a sword. He had a shield. He had a spear. That's hand-to-hand combat. You know, he has to get in very close proximity before he can ever become effective. In most cases. But just his presence being there was enough to terrify the army. You see, he was an infantryman. He's a footman. He does his work on his feet. Then they also had archers. Archers were very valuable back then. Archers, they could do their damages at distances. They could shoot an arrow, and they could hit their target before the infantrymen ever get there. So they can go ahead and inflict damage early on in the onset of a battle. So many nations chose the way of an archer, understandably, to be a part of their warrior team. But you also had chariots. We've talked about how the Egyptian army pursued after the Israelites. We talked about how not only when they were pursuing after them, they followed them down to the seabed of the Red Sea. God brought the sea back together and it destroyed the Egyptian army as well as all their chariots and their horses, and everyone drowned. We know there was chariots back here, but they didn't have this. They didn't. The nation of Israel did not have these. They had infantrymen that were retreating and hiding. At this time, they had archers. But there's one more valuable than infantrymen and archers that they had. And they were simply called slingers. They had what was called slingers. And a slinger was much more valuable than an archer. And we will talk about that in just a moment. But we know that a slinger was just like we read about with David. David was is probably the most well-known slinger in today's society and the historical account that we have here. But what exactly is a slinger? Well, when you read that he picked up five smooth stones, he didn't pick up five because he thought he may have needed five, but he picked up five. I've read commentary that said he picked up five because he heard Goliath had some brothers. And if they were going to come, he was going to go ahead and take care of them too. But he picked up five smooth stones out of the brook and he put them in his pocket. And he didn't have armor. He didn't have a sword. He didn't have a shield, didn't have a spear, didn't have a helmet. There was much that he didn't have, but he had that sling. And David knew how to use that sling. Well, we read that David had at one time had the armor of Saul on. And it said that he did not prove the armor of Saul. He couldn't prove it. And David's going to help me illustrate this. Come here, David. This is Logan, but he's going to be David for the sake of tonight. So it says, Saul says, David, there ain't no way you can go up against that man. He said, Saul, I'm going to go. I'm not going to stand here and let him defy our God. I'm going to go take care of it. If you won't, I'm going to take care of it. And Saul said, well, David, all right, well, let me help you out some. So he took off his armor. All right, David, here you go. And he said, David, all right, there's my armor. Put my sword on your side. And he done just that. And he said, Saul, he said, I can't wear this. He said, I've not proved this. You see, David was a very young man. And when we say that he had not yet proved it, it was just simply too big for David. It was too big for David. So the armor that was provided for him would do no good. And he said, Saul, I cannot wear it. So David took off the armor. He took off the armor and he said, Saul, he said, here, thank you, David. He said, here, you can have it back. You can sit down now. He said, here, you can have it back. It does me no good. He said, but it's all right because I've got my tool that I need. And he had that sling. And when the Philistine come down to defy God, their God, this morning, but he came 40 days in a row mocking the God of Israel. And David, under the authority of his daddy, when he was bringing food, he told him that he would take food out there. And David heard Goliath, and he said, "Boys, what are y'all going to do about that?" He said, "We ain't going to do nothing. And you can't either. You're just a young lad." He said, "Well, I'm going to go take care of business." And we read that David picked up 5 stones, put them in his pouch, and then he hasted or ran towards the enemy. Now, a slinger cannot do combat this close. It does a slinger no good. Their slingshot, and you'll hear it called a slingshot ever so often, it's not like the slingshot that Opie had on Andy Griffith where he killed the bird. But the slingshot that he has, and y'all know that it was like 2 pieces of twine or a rope, and in the middle of it, it had a little pouch, and they would get it, and they would wind it up like a helicopter, and once they got the momentum they want, they would release it, and the projectile would fly out. But it's amazing what they could do as slingers. It's amazing. I've never thought about this, and I started doing some research on a slinger. They say a slinger, Brother Jesse, could sling a projectile so hard and so fast that it could be equivalent to a .45 caliber bullet. .45. And some of the projectiles, it says 5 smooth stones. He didn't pick up little bitty pebbles like you'd see in the bottom of an aquarium. You see, some of these stones that they would throw, researchers will tell us that they would throw stones up to 16 ounces. How you throw a pound stone, I have no idea. But they would say, and they stood and would say, the ideal size of a stone or a rock to throw was about 12 ounces. They didn't want one that was all jagged. They want a smooth one, just like David picked up. So when they threw it, it would go, and there would be less resistance on that stone. But not only could they throw with that kind of impact and speed, but their accuracy was out of this world. It's been recorded that slingers could sling and hit a bird in the air at 200 feet. 200 feet. If Zach, you're not making sense. You're just saying statistics. I don't believe that. Well, if you look, this is what Judges 20:16 says. You can flip there if you want, just one verse. It says, "Among all this people that were 700 chosen men left-handed, everyone could sling stones at the hairbreadth and not miss." Their accuracy they had was spot on. I don't see how you could be that accurate, but David was a shepherd. When he was out there watching over the flock, we read this morning that a lion come and a bear come. Now, David's just a boy. I imagine that a boy just can't get out there and wrestle a lion, can't get out there and wrestle this. So how would it do it? A slinger, their method of defense is they used distance. You had an unlimited supply of ammo. You could pick it up, and they would get that thing winded up, and they would sling it at their target. I have always thought that this story, or this historical account, was one of the underdog coming out on top. But the more I study it, and the more I look into it, it's not the underdog at all. Even though we typically say that now, yes, he was much smaller than Goliath. But Goliath had to be within 4 to 8 feet before he could do any damage. But David didn't have to get nowhere near that close. They say that when he slung the stone at Goliath, he was about 40 foot away. And the Bible says that it hit so hard that it sunk in his head. It broke his skull. It sunk in his head and killed him on the spot. And at 40 foot, there wasn't a thing Goliath could do. You know, it's amazing to see what slingers could do. Nowadays, You don't see slingers. People's just going to pull out their 45 they have it on their side. They're going to take care of it that way. But back then, they didn't have that ability. And slingers, it's been recorded now. This is modern day. Back in the 80s, there was a gentleman that wanted to use the biblical account sling to see how far he could sling an object. Now, of course, he wasn't going for accuracy. He just wanted to see how far he could sling. And he got that thing winded up and he let loose, threw it as hard as he could. And he was kind of let down, even though it was the record that we know of, because it was only a mere 437 yards. He wanted 600, but he only got 437. I'm going to tell you, their accuracy that they had, they relied on this. They had to have it. So when we look at the historical account of David and Goliath, it wasn't the underdog that come out on top, because this was David's ground. It was David's place. But also, if you look in verse 41, and the Philistine came on and drew near to David. Now catch this next line. And the man that bare the shield went before him. Did David have a shield? No. It was Goliath. So there was somebody carrying Goliath's shield. Why in the world would somebody need to carry the warrior's shield? See, he was a giant. And it's also been said that giants didn't have that great of eyesight. So this gentleman or this man that would carry a shield assisted him to the battlefield. And once he got to the battlefield, he was close enough that he could do his business. But until he got to the battlefield, he was no count. He couldn't do anything. So we see here in the account of David and Goliath that this was in David's comfort zone. It was in David's comfort zone. It was not hand-on-hand combat. Now, if it was, David probably wouldn't have stood a chance. Now, physically speaking, now we know the Lord can do mighty works, but physically speaking, you take on a young boy and a 9.5-foot man, he's just not going to make it. But the battle didn't happen hand-on-hand. It was several feet apart. And that's exactly where David was used to working. So when we look at the account of David and Goliath, don't think it's the underdog that come out on top, because he was top dog the whole time. Now, all the ones that were hiding were infantrymen. They had to fight Goliath on Goliath's turf, in his territory. But David was a slinger. He knew that he could take care of business wherever he got there. Now, I'm not saying that he put his own power and his own might in what he could do, because he said, the Lord's going to give you to me. And then after the Lord gave him, David ran up. How do we know that there was distance between them? How do we know? You said that there was some distance between them. How do you know that? Well, if you see in verse 50, it said, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore, David, what? If he was already at Goliath, he had nowhere to run. But he ran to Goliath, took out Goliath's own sword, and cut the head of Goliath off with his own sword. You see, David was on his territory the whole time. See, God takes care of His children. I told you this morning that David surveyed the battlefield. And he said, it's not my battle, it's the Lord's. So when he went down there to battle Goliath, he didn't put on the armor of Saul because he knew he wasn't getting close enough, and he didn't prove it. He wasn't big enough. But he was handling on his terms, not Goliath's terms. And any time a battle comes up in our life, we need to handle it on God's terms and not ours. He said, the Lord's going to give you to me. And that's exactly what God did. So when that battle comes in the morning, you go and face that battle with God on your side. Don't try to do it by yourself. Well, I just don't know what to do. There's many times that battles and trials come up in our lives and we panic, don't know what to do, because we didn't do like David. David stuck with what he knew. Don't try to do something new. David didn't take that sword with him into battle. He didn't need it. He stuck with what he knew. So when that battle comes tomorrow, stick with what you know. What are you saying? Get on your knees. Ask God for help in that battle when it comes. He's ready to help us. But a lot of times we try to do it on our own. We try to take care of whatever we're facing alone instead of asking God to help us. So this afternoon, I say that David wasn't the underdog at all. He was already on top because he started out right. He said, the Lord's going to give you to me. Father, I thank you, dear Lord, for your goodness and your grace. I thank you, dear Lord, for the victories that we see, not just in the lives of the saints of God that come before us, but the victories that we see in our own lives. Father, it's not because we done it, but it's because you done it. And I'm thankful, dear Lord, most of all, for that victory that you gave me on Calvary 2,000 years ago. Father, never let us get over the price that you paid. Father, what you've done for us that long ago, dear Lord, thank you for the blood that was shed, the body that was broken, and the prophecy that has been fulfilled. Father, I just ask, dear Lord, that you'd help us to be who you would desire us to be. Father, put a stance about us, dear Lord, that we would have a proclamation to tell this world that there is a God that loves them. Father, to have a desire to reach the lost and to tell them that there is a God that already made the payment, and that there is a way that we can go home and live with you for eternity, and our only part is believing. Father, I thank you, dear Lord, for bringing us throughout this day. And I ask, dear Lord, that you'd be with us throughout this coming week, dear Lord. Father, be with the memorial service on Thursday. And Father, I just ask, dear Lord, that you'd be with the procedure and the x-ray in the morning, dear Lord. And Father, we're just going to thank you and praise you for it, all the goodness that you are to us, and everything we ask in your name. Amen.